Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Bing bong, bing bong, bing bong.
We love podcasting, and you've tuned into quite possibly the best podcast in this room. It's called Suggestible, where we suggest things to you. My name is James, and with me as always is my wife, whose name is also James.
I know. I also look incredibly like you as well. You just wanted to marry someone that looked exactly like you, called James.
I don't think that's true. If you look like me, that sucks for you, quite frankly.
I know. But do you know there is that thing that as couples get older, they look more and more alike?
Though. That is apparently a proven thing because they like mimic facial expressions of each other.
Yeah.
And they get the same like creases and...
Totally. Yeah. I feel like the same with people's pets. I've probably said this on the show before.
Oh, my God, it's everywhere, though.
It's everywhere. And it's even, I think COVID has really brought it out.
It's ramped up the pets, though. And you're just seeing more people as well.
You are seeing more people with their pets. People are buying more pets. And also I feel like people are drawn to pets that have a similar energy to them. Definitely. Sometimes it's like genuinely down to the look of the animal as well. And other times it's just the general vibe.
It's a vibe.
It never ceases to make me laugh every time. And every time we are in the car together and we see it, we're both like, "Who's one of the best men?"
Look at this guy who bought a dog that looks exactly like it.
It was a dog. Our dog looks so much like James. It's so funny.
We're even both graying.
Yeah, in like the same kind of way. Both got a little weird, pointy ears.
Weird manic energy.
I know, like very anxious energy. Ollie just the other day just poked her head around the laundry door at me. I caught her eye. Like we both caught each other's eye and I could tell she was like, "Oh," and I was like, "Yes, I know."
About what?
I don't even know. I think the kids were going crazy and I was like really stressed, and also it was very early. It was like 5:30 or something.
Good Lord.
In the morning. She was super tired. And I could tell because she stays up late with you.
Yeah.
And then she like, we wake her up in the morning and it's just, anyway, like, this is boring. Let's get on to the show.
We suggest things. What have you got to suggest this week?
Oh, I'm so excited about this.
Oh my
goodness. I've been waiting for this show for a while.
Okay.
It's called 9 Perfect Strangers. You've probably seen the promos around. It is starring our very own Nicole Kidman, who I think is brilliant. And I was going to say he's an underrated actress and actor. And he's absolutely, that is not the case. She's extremely famous and everyone thinks she's great.
I think she's exactly where she should be.
No, what I mean by that is I think for pockets of her career, she was pigeonholed into like a particular type of role.
Sure.
Or maybe not seen as weighty an actor as she actually is.
She was in Batman Forever.
Correct.
She was Val Kilmer's love interest.
Yeah, well, I think it's up, like, you know, during, I guess, is that in the 90s?
Yeah.
You know, she really played that style of character, I guess. But in her career, she could have gone in a totally different direction, but she's chosen really complex, strange, often quite weird roles.
Yeah, right.
Which just have extended her repertoire as an actress.
Now, I wanted to ask you about Nicole Kidman specifically.
Yes.
Because which of the witch roles do you prefer of Nicole Kidman? Do you like the witch she plays in The Golden Compass? Do you like the witch she plays in the movie Practical Magic with Sandra Bullock? Or do you like the witch that she plays in the remake of the movie Bewitched? TV show Bewitched.
Did you plan this question?
I did not.
Oh, I prefer...
You love the movie Practical Magic, don't
you?
Yeah,
I bloody love the movie, yeah. I really did. I really loved Practical Magic. And it's terrible. I rewatched it the other day and it is terrible.
You rewatched it the other day?
Yeah, I did. It's COVID, mate.
Oh, my God. 22% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, it's really bad. And yet still there's something about it. I think I just love witches. I love that whole vibe. And I love Sandra Bullock and I love Nicole Kidman. Anyway, she actually plays a very witch-esque character in this show as well. It's actually based on a book by one of my favourite Australian authors, Leanne Moriarty.
Okay.
Who, of which you've actually bought me a book before.
Which one?
the Wondermount, the birthday candles, and I can't remember what it's called.
Nine birthday candle.
Yeah, something like that. But it's really good.
Okay.
Anyway, so Nine Perfect Strangers centers around an experimental wellness retreat called Tranquillum. Nine people, obviously nine strangers, venture into it, and it's run by Nicole Kidman's character, Masha Demchenko, who's like, I've probably butchered that, who's Russian and is the founder of this retreat. It's set in Byron Bay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Well, I don't actually, I think it's set in America, but it's they filmed it in Byron Bay.
Oh, okay, right.
So the it's just incredibly beautiful. Like the scenery alone, and because we're cooped up in our house and, you know, the at the time recording, the likelihood of us getting to go to a tropical wellness retreat is very far away.
It's true.
It's just beautiful to look at. Now, Melissa McCarthy, who is one of my faves, comedic actress and actress in general, brilliant. She plays Frances Welty, who is one of the guests, who's a novelist struggling with her professional and personal life. Mm-hmm. And she's also an executive producer on the show, as is Nicole Kidman. Yeah,
she's got some chops, man. Don't even worry about it.
She really does. I mean, Gilmore Girls, Suki and Gilmore Girls.
True.
Can't go plus
but also,
so
like,
good.
The serious movies that she does. Also, I think she's very funny. I think sometimes the movies she makes aren't very funny, but not because of her.
Totally.
She is
Because you're not going to have a hit every time.
No, absolutely not.
Exactly. Yeah, she is. She's always brilliant. Sometimes the movies aren't so great, but this is really good, this show. And she is really funny in this, but also it's deeply, deeply moving.
Ooh.
Her performance, I think. There's sort of like, she plays it really, really well. And she is kind of like some of the chemistry in the show. You know how there's always got to be a kind of chemistry thing happening? I'm just going to find that. Sorry, Collings, just edit this bit out while my brain short circuits.
Do you don't want to leave it in? Could make great behind the scenes content.
No, it's not even an interesting.
It's good for people to see your creative mind at work. Do you know what I mean?
No, my brain is slowing up by the second. It's like full of, it feels like it's full of chewing gum. Honestly. Just like half-chewed bits of rotten apple.
I imagine somebody's doing brain surgery on you and they're looking, they're like, this squishy pig, this is just chewing gum, this bit. This isn't even brain.
That's what motherhood has done to her. Brain is just full of like actual chewing gum.
Or a kid like, one of our kids stuck chewing gum up your nose and it just got stuck to your brain.
God,
go on.
Anyway, so her love interest, I guess, really, is Bobby Cannavale, who's played by...
Husband of Rose Byrne.
Is he really?
They're married, yeah.
Did not know that. Mm. Oh, he's great.
Also from Sex and the City, one episode.
Yes, yes.
He's got
he's got funky tasting spunk.
That is the one, yes.
Anyway, but he's great and he's also really funny. He plays Tony Hogburn, who's a former tight end, which apparently is a football term. I don't know about the sports. A tight end.
Yeah.
I don't know. Struggling with his drug addiction. So he was this like really famous football star in America and then had a really severe injury that has caused him to then take painkillers and get onto Oxy. And so he's another one of the nine strangers.
Yeah. Well, this is the thing. The tight end, this is what I know it as just from the top of my head.
It's, there he goes. He's going to explain the sports, guys.
It's a hybrid position. So I've come to understand it with the characteristics and roles of both an offensive lineman, so somebody who's quite brash and offensive, as it were, and a wide receiver. So like a man who's, say, like 3 to 4 times wider than a regular man, but like maybe the same height. Do you know what I mean? Kind of like 2 to 3 fridges like, next to each other.
Like what?
But also quite narrow. So if you looked at them side on, you're like, oh, that's the width of a regular man. Turns like you see him front on. As wide as 3 fridges.
Is that like a Mr. Med character?
Yeah, like that Mr. Strong guy. The guy who looks like a block.
Nailed it.
Thank you.
So that's who
just Bobby
Cannavale.
For those.
Absolutely. You know. And everyone knows Melissa McCarthy is really into that kind of bloke, you know. Her character, Frances.
Oh, is she?
She's no point. No, not really.
That.
No, not really.
You said everybody knows that.
I don't know. I was trying
Does everybody know that?
I was trying. My chewing gum brain was trying to make a joke and it's just sputtering to a bloody halt. God damn, everything sucks. No, not really. It's fine.
Everything's fine.
Everything's fine. Okay, so I actually got it. So I must have put something on my Instagram. That was like, I just put up quotes tonight that speak to me, but one of them in my stories must look like I was like full of bleak, like hopelessness because the Someone tweeted me and all they said was in my DMs was, are you okay?
I get that constantly. So that's fun that it's rubbing off.
Yeah, maybe they did it just for you. I never get that. So
I can't believe you leave your DMs open. Or is that on Instagram?
It's just on Instagram. Yeah, yeah. It's not on Twitter. Yeah, it's just on Instagram. Anyway, so I'm just going back to, yeah, this cast of Nine Perfect Strangers. Okay, so that's the other Perfect Strangers. One is a couple, so a family who've lost their son, and their daughter as well is there on the retreat as well. And then there's also Luke Evans plays Lars Lee, who's kind of like a mysterious man with a hidden agenda.
Oh, does he play Dracula again, like in the movie Dracula Untold?
He kind of has a slight Dracula edge to it. You kind of get the feeling like maybe he's trying to figure out what Marsha's doing at this retreat, because it's like this super famous retreat, but it's very secretive. You can't use phones. They take away all your technology and you're not allowed to put anything on social media. So it's kind of very mysterious, but everyone who goes there swears by it for the rich and famous, basically. Sure. It's like thousands and thousands of dollars to get into this retreat. And so you feel like Lars's character has gone in there to try and bust it wide open or something, but you're not sure why or who.
Are all these episodes available right now, or are they releasing them week to week?
There's the first three.
Okay,
I've got to watch this. First three are available. And so there's also Asha Keddie.
Oh, yeah.
Now, she is brilliant. She plays the mother who's lost her son.
Australia's own. Does she do an Australian accent?
No, she has American accent.
Really?
Which is, she's so good. I mean, I think it's good. I don't know if I'm not American, but it's weird seeing it come out of her mouth.
Yeah.
Because I know her. Her work so
Absolutely,
well. So
yeah.
But she's just so great in it and heartbreaking. Yeah. And so there's also Melvin Craig, who plays Ben Chandler, who's Jessica's sort of influencer called Jessica's wealthy lottery winner husband. So it comes out quite, you know, in this second episode, I think, that he had won the lottery.
Okay.
And so he and his kind of influencer wife, Jessica, are at the retreat. And ostensibly because they're not happy in their marriage, but there's other obviously underlying stuff going on
Is there a element of White Lotus to this, or is it more of a drama than White Lotus is?
It's White Lotus-esque in that it's full of privileged white people going to a retreat and telling their problems.
Was Michael Shannon in this?
Yeah.
Did you mention that already?
No, I didn't. So he plays Asha Keddie's husband.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He's brilliant too. I mean, the cast is insane. It's all so good. So, yeah, it's white people with white people problems. So it's quite escapist in some ways as well because of the setting. But the things that they've been through are, you know, start
very
to unfold
yeah.
and can be quite traumatic. And it deals with, you know, common themes, things like grief and loss and drug addiction and dealing with life, I guess, in general, and the things that happen to you.
I think
it's really interesting to explore the idea of winning the lottery because he seems completely miserable. And his kind of point is, well, you win the lottery and then what's the point in anything?
Isn't there there's a certain amount of money that you can get and your happiness doesn't increase?
Correct.
From that point. I don't know what the exact point is, but there's a maximum amount of money that you can have and every bit of money that you earn from then, the return on happiness is smaller and smaller.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what this guy's getting at.
I don't think
at.
I've reached that yet.
No. No. Let's just, God.
Just keep grinding away, mate.
We'll keep grinding away. Anyway, so that's kind of an interesting idea to explore, I think. And the other thing that they explore, which is interesting, because there's also the staff in the retreat as
Okay, well, yeah, well, that's very
who are also incredibly beautiful. And Marsha's got quite a mysterious history about her too and is clearly kind of a bit unhinged and you're just not sure how unhinged she is.
Okay.
And it becomes clear that they've got this thing called the protocol, which seems to basically be microdosing of mushrooms or something.
Well, that can help, apparently.
Yeah, well, it does. And then
there's a lot of clinical trials.
She does it without their consent, basically. And she's got cameras everywhere.
Well, you're supposed to do it under like specific conditions and whatever, but yeah.
And probably with your consent, definitely.
She just starts
microdosing them when they don't know. Yeah, so it's kind of this strange vibe created. Like she gets them to dig their own graves in line.
Sounds like a cult.
Yeah, I don't know. It's only three episodes in, and because I've read the book, I don't want to say anything more because I don't want to spoil it. But it is, it's just, it's great. It's got a great cast, great setting. And for me, it's a really kind of escapist thing to be watching during lockdown.
Yes.
So I'm loving it. Also, Nicole Kidman is peak Nicole Kidman. Spooky, spooky, ethereal, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Similar character to who she plays in that show with Hugh Grant, you know, when they're the couple, the waspy couple. It's very similar.
Fell
spooky
apart
vibe.
That for me at the end.
Yeah, towards the end it did.
Well, I liked it initially.
Yeah, I still really loved it.
Someone called?
Can't remember.
My husband maybe murdered someone or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember what it was called. But, yeah, I mean, I think they're bringing that back for a second season.
Why?
I really enjoyed it. I'd be up for that. Anyway, your turn.
Well, first of all, this is something I am going to watch. I'll listen to because I've got it open in my podcast ready to go. It's from your podcast, Claire Tonce. It's an interview that you have with Tarang Chawla. Is that how you say his name?
Oh, what? Yeah.
From the clips that I've seen of this and that you've shown me, you interviewed this, is this amazing dude who's an advocate for women's rights and domestic violence and all these things because of a personal thing which happened to his sister was murdered. I don't want to say it flippantly. It's fucking awful and terrible. But he's doing all this great work and it's a really fun interview that I can't wait to listen to because I think your podcast is great and people should also check it out. A little bit of a plug there. Listen to it every week. All right.
That's so nice.
Oh,
of
and the previous week's one was the one about the bloody they ruin themselves with TikTok or whatever, which is not as grim as it sounds. There's some really, like if you've got young kids or you're thinking about having kids or any age kids, it's a good way to kind of get, you know, open up and talk to them about things that they see online and how to deal with that and all those kinds of things and mental health and sexual health and all this other stuff. Anyway, enough about this show that you made me talk about,
I'll just
Claire.
Say that, thank
I didn't
you.
Want
I
to talk about it.
I did not. No, I'm really surprised.
She's
that
got
you
a knife. She's waving it at me.
I just really, thank you for saying that. It's really nice that you brought that up. You've really surprised me. Thanks, mate. Carly McGoran is the psychologist you were talking about from my previous episode. And she is an expert, having worked for 15 years with teenagers, particularly in young people. And she's worked in child protection as well.
Yes.
So she just, but she's also just like really warm and funny and kind. And I think there was a lot of stuff about tech, but I also just thought she had some great stuff about how to talk to kids about emotions.
Well, that was the stuff that I took from it. And it does all of that because you interviewed her brother. Who is more of like the tech side. They work really, obviously work together, but they work really well as a team. What's his name? Darren McDonald or something?
He's a really good friend of ours, Marty. He was MC at our wedding.
He was MC at our wedding.
Anyway, moving right along. Thank you.
This show I've been watching, it's four episodes in. It's called Mr. Corman. It's written, directed and starring for the most part, though there are a lot of other people involved in those things. Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Arturo Castro, Deborah Winger. So Mr. Corman is described as a deep cut into the days and nights of a public school teacher in the San Fernando Valley. Right, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt, JGL, as you might know him. You might know him as Robin from the movie The Dark Knight Rises from 2012. Do you?
No.
What do you know him from?
Oh, what do you think I know him from?
The one where he's a bike messenger?
10 Things I Hate About You, mate.
Of course.
Of course, my all-time favourite. Oh, I have to do an episode of Tonce on that. I bloody love that
You do
movie.
It with me? Yeah. I know you're saving me as like a back pocket guest for when you can't get someone. But if somebody else is like 10 Things I Hate About You, be like, no, I have to do it with my husband.
Do you like that movie?
It's a fucking great movie. Okay, what are you talking
it is.
About?
It's a fucking great
movie.
Look,
if someone else wants to do it, they'll do it. I'll do Can't Hardly Wait if you don't want to do
I'll save 10 Things I Hate About
You. No, I'll do Can't Hardly Wait. Let someone else do that. Right. Anyway, so basically he teaches like kids that are about 10 to 12, which is the age group that I taught. So I think a lot of this is like just me being like, oh, yeah, no, I understand. I understand this because a lot of time when I see teachers in shows, it feels like unrealistic and they're doing like these classes that are just like you just can't pull something like that off on a day-to-day basis. Correct. Do you know what I mean? Because it's just so exhausting a lot of the time and you're so limited by time and resources. So the thing is, in class, he's like keeping it together and being positive, but also behind the scenes, and you see a lot of his personal life, he's riddled with like anxiety and depression. So a lot of it is about like the public face that you have as a teacher, which I can relate to because it's not so much a lie, but well, maybe it is a lie, but you want to present like the best version of yourself to the class so that you're setting a good example. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And so that's kind of, well, that's one of the things that it's about, but it, you know, it gets into things like a teacher's wage. Like he goes on a date and he's like, at one point she accuses him of like being jealous of that he doesn't earn enough money or something like that, or it goes that certain direction. It also covers how like kids are smart. You know what I mean? Often in shows I feel like they don't depict that kids of all ages, they're really switched on. And he has this line where he's like, they're people. They're like full-grown people already. You know what I mean? And you've probably seen that because you've taught older kids and even younger kids, but they're so switched on and they pick up on like every little thing that you do and around them, and they ask really interesting questions. I feel like it covers that really well. And again, a lot of it is about like outside of that, you know, and he's, you know, he shares an apartment with a friend of his who's got, you know, he's got a daughter and he's divorced and, you know, into his life as well. It's also, I was watching some behind the scenes stuff and he talks about how he wrote it as this kind of show about his life if it had have taken like a different direction, you know, if he wasn't doing acting and directing and all those kinds of things. But yeah, it's really good. I really enjoy it. It's like slightly surreal at certain points and it's on Apple TV Plus.
Ooh, that TV
got
Plus,
some bangers, mate.
We are definitely not sponsored by them, but we do think they got some bangers.
They got some good stuff.
Physical.
Yeah, I still got to watch Physical.
It's good. It's very good. Very good. Rose Byrne. But that sounds great.
Check it out.
I love that idea that they show the kids as smart, because I feel that. I think sometimes people underestimate kids a lot.
Yeah.
You know, and I also think that idea of having a teaching persona that is still you but is like a heightened version of you is one of the reasons why teaching is one of the most exhausting jobs.
Exhausting, yeah.
And obviously there are a huge spectrum of really exhausting jobs, but I do think there's a particular exhaustion, and I'm sure these people would relate to this who present in front of people a lot.
Especially if you're introverted.
Exactly. That presentation thing that you're doing, often people will work for a few weeks to do a presentation at their workplace that might go for 15, 20 minutes or maybe an hour. Whereas like as a teacher, you're presenting 6-7 hours a day.
Yeah.
And often then going to meetings afterwards. And so there are a lot of difficult jobs out there, but I do think that there's a particular exhaustion that comes along with that, that I also loved and I've
missed it
in lots of ways. I love the kids and I loved it. I just
But it is like it's relentless, and I think a big part of it is like it's just constant questions like all day, and it's not necessarily like questions about, you know, a topic. It's just like kids coming up to you with stuff like constantly, and you can't like in the real world if people like kept coming up to you and you'd just be like, get the fuck away from me. Do you know what I mean? But obviously you would never do that to a kid.
No, that was my favorite thing.
Because you don't want to either. You know that's why you're there. Because that's your job. That's what you're doing, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that was my favorite thing. My least favorite thing was paperwork.
Yeah. And the fact that you couldn't, there's not enough time to plan and whatever. But it is a good gig, I think.
I think so too. And it's such a privilege.
Not for everyone.
No, I think the other part is you're in such a privileged position to be involved in people's lives and in their families. And I just think that is such a special thing that sort of can't be replicated. But I also felt like because of that, teaching isn't a job that you should sleepwalk through.
No.
And if you feel that you're becoming burnt out and tired, for me, I couldn't have done it for years and years and years and years. And there are some teachers who are brilliant at it, but I felt like it was
time with little kids.
Yeah, super difficult. Yeah. But God, there are some just really bloody awesome teachers out there.
I agree.
Yeah, that sounds great. Mm. I'm totally going to watch that. Also,
well, you can't because I've already watched it, so you got to watch it.
I know, it's so annoying. Okay, on a side note, Joseph Gordon-Levitt has managed to do that thing where he went from odd sort of looking to smoking.
Smoking. And now he's kind of like daddish.
Yeah, but
he's
still,
like 40. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Still looks good though, don't get me wrong.
No, he also sings very well with Jimmy Fallon. I love those, like, whatever he calls that sing off he's done with Joseph Gordon.
Really?
Yeah, I love those. I know you don't like the lip sync battles, but when Joseph Gordon Levitt does it, I love it.
Look, man, I love JGL from way back, all right?
All right, all right.
I love Third Rock from the Sun.
Jimmy Fallon, just let it
be. I don't not like Jimmy Fallon. I just don't think about him at all.
All right. You get very mad about him. Anyway.
No, I don't.
You do.
I don't like the other one more, that other guy, as much. No, the British guy, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I know exactly who you mean.
He's like, let's get in a car and sing.
Yeah,
no.
You're doing karaoke. And my brain can't even remember who you're talking about, even though I absolutely can see his little face.
I don't
face.
Actually dislike him at all.
He's lovely. And also, he did that one with...
Paul McCartney, you always
Paul
talk
McCartney
about.
I know. Always talk about. Anyway, can I just do my thing?
I would love that.
Can I please? For the love of God.
For the love of God.
All right. I need to put a full disclaimer in here, guys, that this is a lot working and having little children. And if you are also doing it, you are a goddamn hero. That's all I wanted to say.
Wow. That's really pandering.
I know, but you bloody are. It's such an impossible task. And I saw the look on other parents' faces in our area when I went and, you know, in passing while we're walking on our 1 hour of exercise we're allowed out a day. And I just wanted to say to any of them, if any of them are listening to this, and if you are anywhere in the world parenting tiny children, and I know people are in all different situations, but I just want to say this, you are a goddamn hero and I think deserve a giant bubble bath with chocolate.
That's pretty good. With chocolate.
On your own. You know,
I would
I just
hate
want
that.
To
if
do
someone
some
came up to me and was like, you're a hero, I'd be like, get the fuck away from me.
Yeah, but you're a weird guy. You don't even like people knowing your order at the cafe.
That's true.
You're a weird guy.
I don't want anyone to know any of my business.
Exactly. Well, I'm not doing it for you over there, Jim Jam. You toot your own horn enough.
Do I?
I'm tooting the horn for other parents out there who are doing it tough.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Anyway, moving right along. And on that note, I have a recommendation for you, dear
Let's
parents
do it.
That are struggling.
Okay.
If you have not heard of Vivo, let me recommend it to you. So,
Vivo.
Yeah, we had a movie night. And in our house, we made kind of really dodgy looking movie tickets. And I pretended to be a candy bar attendant.
It was great.
It was really fun, actually. And we had popcorn. I didn't even make the popcorn. I was too tired, but I put a hat on and it was great. And we like pretend to drive around. Our son came in and like gave us, he bought little tickets. I gave him a little candy bar thing and we sat and watched the movie. It was great. So Vivo is a 2021 American computer animated musical comedy drama film produced by Sony. The film is directed by Kirk D'Amico and co-directed by Brandon Jeffords. From a screenplay by D'Amico and also from Chiara Alegria Hudes. The story was based on an original idea by Peter Barsaccini, with songs written by Lin-Manuel Miranda, who voices the title character in the film. I wonder if you know Lin-Manuel Miranda, James?
I've never met him.
Of possible Hamilton fame.
I bet he'd get to a great carpool karaoke.
He's probably definitely done one.
I might even watch it.
You might even watch it. Anyway, it's gorgeous. It has does have some sad themes in and around it, but for the most part, it's really, really beautiful, and I enjoyed it a lot. The film centers around a little creature called a kinkachu, which is a monkey, and it's set in Cuba. So Lin-Manuel Miranda himself plays Vivo, the monkey.
Is it a monkey?
Yes,
it's a monkey. It's a tropical rainforest mammal.
Oh, I thought it was a monkey.
It's in the family of related to like raccoons and ringtail possums and shit.
Oh, okay. So not a monkey.
No.
Oh,
certainly
well, there you
looks
go.
Like a fucking monkey though, isn't he? Yeah, he's a possum.
He's a possum.
Of
oh,
sorts.
Okay. So the story centers around him and opens where he is taken in by a lovely old man who's also a musician. And they play together in the plaza in Cuba. And people come and they sort of do like a busking thing and it's gorgeous and there's some really great songs there. And then this is a tiny little spoiler, but it happens quite early. The old man, Andres, dies. And so then He dies just before he can give this love song that he wrote for this very famous musician.
Played by Gloria Estefan.
Correct, exactly.
Which I just read just then.
Oh, yeah, I know. She plays Marta, and they used to play together. And they both loved each other but never said it because she went off to be this big star and he stayed in Cuba. Mm-hmm. And so he wrote this song for her that she never heard. And because he passes away, Vivo decides that it's his mission to bring it to Marta because she's doing like a retirement performance.
Right.
Now, just in case you don't remember who Gloria Estefan is, I'm sure everybody does, she sings that famous song, "Come and shake your body, baby, do the conga." Anyway, she's famous for many other songs as well and has kind of famous for launching the careers of a lot of other artists that come after her.
Yes.
Like J-Lo and...
Really, give a lot of people a hand up, yeah.
Correct, yeah, exactly. So, and she's just an incredible performer and musician. Anyway, she's wonderful in this as well. Now, I think the standout character is a little girl called Gabby,
yes,
who's Andre's grandniece and is an energetic but eccentric and misunderstood preteen with a gift for rapping and a gift of the gab.
Mm.
So she's also she loves drumming and her father's passed away, so she really connects with Vivo, and he kind of hides away in her luggage, and then they go on a little adventure together to bring this song to Marta. Gabby has this incredible song that is all about finding your own beat, and I think it's my favorite song in the whole
thing. Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, and they blend it well with other songs as well.
Yeah, they really do, and it's so catchy, and our son's always singing it. We've been dancing around at home to it. So the soundtrack itself is just really, really awesome too. And also I really love the other one. There's two birds played by Brian Tyree Henry and Nicole Byer, and they play...
That's great.
Yeah,
well, that's really
there's a beautiful love song that they sing about that as well. So anyway, it's just a beautiful... And there are some themes of grief and loss and death, which one of my friends has a very sensitive child and they were quite upset by it.
Yeah, so, it's pretty intense, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty intense in that the characters that die are gorgeous and you do – but I think also, you know, a lot of kids' movies have a theme of death within them, and it actually is great for opening a discussion about that too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But, you know your kids better than anyone.
Exactly. Right? I think that's – because I often get messages that are like, when should I show my kid this movie or whatever, what would be a good starting thing? And it really just comes down to the kid, you know? I've showed our kid things that, you know, maybe you're probably a bit too old for other kids, but, you know, feel like he can handle it. And maybe he did. I don't know. Maybe he pushed that down. He's going to lash out at me when I'm older.
Maybe, but, like, we've tried reading Harry Potter and he's just not ready
He was talking about that to me today a lot, like going through and who's your favourite character and what do you think of this and whatever. And I think he might be...
He might be getting ready.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. So anyway, but it is a beautiful movie and the animation's gorgeous.
Yeah, and I just also wanted to say the Sony animation generally are in the past not good. Like they made a lot of garbage, right? So these are some of the movies that they've made in the past. They made the movie Open Season, which is maybe nothing. I don't know. The movie Surfs Up. Do people like that? The Smurfs, which might be fine. But they've made like... Spider-Man, Into the Spider-Verse, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, a bunch of stuff, which is much – what was that more recent one that they did?
Croods, maybe?
No. I think they might have done the Croods. They did the Emoji movie, which is like, ugh, why did you do this? But, they've just kind of – they did Mitchell versus the Machines, which I loved as well. So I just think it's really cool that, like, the stuff that they're doing is on par with something you'd see at, like, Disney Pixar or some of the better DreamWorks stuff that they're kind of known for. It's cool. They're like, they're making a genuine effort to make good stuff.
Totally.
Which is really cool.
It is really cool. And I also really enjoyed the fact that Gabby as a character is a kid that you would actually see in the real world. And she's a female character that's, I don't know, just different. She's her own person. She's like really unique and has kind of cool purple hair, loves to eat food and, you know, play the drums and is just unashamedly herself. And I think that there's something really powerful for young girls. And I would have loved to see a character like that when I was a kid.
Totally.
Rather than waspy, waifey Cinderella, who I also loved. But, you know.
But what a bitch.
No, I just, you know, it's refreshing to see a kid because I feel like I was much more of a Gabby than a Cinderella in real life, but I just didn't have any Gabbies to see.
Yeah, fair enough.
Just a whole world of like Princess Jasmine's and
you could look in a mirror.
Cinderella. Hey, thanks, mate. All right, I don't know.
I don't know
what you meant by that. My brain is definitely full of chewing gum and I don't know. I feel like it's just like one kind of like weird looking frog swinging on a swing, just like in there. Yeah, really go off the deep end.
Yeah, well, look, that's fine. I'm happy to end it here if you want. But let's not just get out of here just yet because do people know that they can actually review this show and then I'm going to read that review out on the podcast? That's what I've been working my way through. If you got one, you can just do it in-app. This is from Noah Roscoe who says, what a pair / pod. I listened to James over at the Weekly Planet. When I heard he had a new podcast, I had to check it out. I've listened to every episode and James is great and Claire is there too. Nah, I got ya. Claire's great. I love her unexpected recommendations. The chemistry is undeniable and they have lots of fun. They provide us with good info and I'm glad this podcast exists. Thank you so much, Noah. We are glad to keep making it for the revenue that we can put on it. We can run ads through the hosting platform, and that's why we do it, isn't it, Claire?
It totally is. It totally is.
Did you listen to any of that?
I didn't actually because I was looking for an email. I forgot.
You forgot an email?
I know. I normally always remember.
This is a very Mason move.
It is. It's like,
Mason, you need to bring one thing to the show, an email, and then he's like, and then he'll just quickly try and find one in the letter segment as we're doing it.
All right, here I go.
Let's do it.
This email is something to cheer up grumpy old James. I feel like I should say grumpy old Claire today. We've swept roles for some reason.
Yeah, we have
swept
roles.
Very disconcerting.
I like it.
This is from Steve. Hello, Claire and James. It's Steve from the city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Cue Rocky music and montage.
Sorry, go on.
This is my second time around suggesting you things. Yes, it is. The first time being The Old Man and the Clock by Elliot Park.
I'm stuck with this clock. Yeah, I remember that bit.
That's so good. That might be some of the finest editing work that Hollings has ever done.
It's true.
A lovely song which caused James a slight mental break.
Slight, yes.
Yes.
It's generous.
This time I would like to suggest a comedian to James, the old boot himself.
Let's do it.
His name is Nate Bargatze. He has this
How do you spell that?
Bargatze.
Ah, yes. I know this guy. Yeah, I've watched one of his specials.
Oh, cool. He has such a subtle and dry humour that I think James will enjoy. And Claire too, filled with awkward and fun life experiences and just overall running at 40% vibes. Mate, it's more like 5% today. But yes, he has two specials on Netflix right now, The Greatest Average American and The Tennessee Kid. He also has a podcast.
I haven't seen the second one.
Oh, I'm going to watch that.
Yeah.
He has a podcast called The Nate Land Podcast, which is just him and friends talking about anything and everything. I hope you listen and enjoy.
Maybe I will.
I definitely will. I loved the first recommendation of Steve Jenry, so I reckon that I will also really enjoy this.
You think this guy knows what's up?
He knows what's up, down, and all around.
Interesting.
Definitely. All right. That's it. Thank you, as always, to Royal Collings for editing this show.
Thank you so much. And thank you to me for my Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, which I edited with Ben and Lawrence and is officially now the number one video on my channel as of when I've released it out of the 10. Did you know that? When you release a video, there's a YouTube analytics thing that tells you how badly your video is doing.
Oh.
So it's like, this video is performing the 9th best out of the last 10 that you've done. And I'm like, good to know. But every now and then it's like, this is number one, and I'm like, I did it. I'm a success. It's the worst app in the world.
Oh, that's so mean.
Yeah.
But I will say this is why you've got so much pep in your step.
I'm so happy it's done because I literally just finished it.
Yeah, this is like some of the happiest I've seen you.
Well, because I knew it was always coming. Like the whole year I'm like, when's this fucking trailer going to happen? And it finally released and I got a bunch of help with it, as mentioned, and it's done. And now I don't have to think about it anymore.
Wow. I remember back in the day when you would have zero helps.
It's true.
And you would just plug away all night on
now
a trailer.
Now I get so much helps and it just makes my life so much better.
And they're such great helps.
They're great helps.
They're the best of helps.
I agree.
They're so good, those dudes.
That's right. Let's go.
Thank the Lord.
I need some cereal.
Yeah. So long.
Farewell.
A Wiedersehenager.
Have a good man.
All right.
Mwah.
10%?
Mwah.
10%?
Mwah.
5%?
Mwah.
How many percentages are you?
I'm running at a full 43.
Yeah, you got way more step. pep in your step. All right. Bye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
I mean, if you want, it's up to you.